TTIP, a trade agreement that has been touted as being good for the countries involved, that it would offer benefits for both people and businesses, like improved purchasing power, more jobs, cheaper products. The list is long, but a recent leak by Greenpeace has put the U.S. and EU wide-ranging TTIP trade deal in jeopardy. In this edition of the debate, we'll discuss what those leaks were and why this trade agreement would weaken standards and the protections for the benefit of corporate interests.
A trove of recently leaked documents on closed-door negotiations between Brussels and Washington has put chances of reaching a trade deal between the U.S. and the EU at risk. France, Europe's second largest economy, has slammed the trade pact, saying talks could come to an end without any agreement due to Washington's reluctance to make concessions. French President François Hollande has blamed Washington for the impasse. He says Paris will say no to the transatlantic trade and investment partnership at this stage. On Monday, environmental pressure group Greenpeace released documents which reveal that the EU has accepted to give more concessions than it gets under U.S. pressure. Greenpeace argued that the deal could inflict a dangerous lack of standards on U.S. and European consumers. It added that compromising with Washington would undermine EU standards on the environment and public health. The European Commission negotiating the deal on behalf of the 28 member bloc since mid-2013 downplayed the leak, claiming it was misleading and flatly wrong. Washington and Brussels have been pushing for the mega deal, which would affect a quarter of global trade, to be finalized before U.S. President Barack Obama leaves office.
It's very alarming that the European Union and the United States are so willing to undermine national democracy and, of course, undermine consumer interests and protections for national companies and employees, all in the name of just creating this monolithic trade agreement between the EU and the USA, where basically corporate interests would run riot.
This amid mounting opposition on both sides of the transatlantic. Opposition to the TTIP has been fierce in many European countries. Protesters across the bloc have taken to the streets to oppose what could be the world's biggest free trade deal. They consider the deal a threat to democracy and say they're convinced that powerful interests are selling the consumers short in the secret negotiations. Talks on the proposed trade treaty that's now in troubled waters are likely to grind to a halt amid mounting skepticism.
Our guest joining us for this edition of the debate, we have the former Assistant Secretary of the U.S. Treasury, Paul Craig Roberts, who joins us from Florida. We have the finance editor of The Independent, Sean O'Grady, who joins us from London. Gentlemen, welcome. Let me first start with you, Paul Craig Roberts. And I'm looking at a couple of the headlines you've written about this. Of course, the complete corporate world takeover caught my eye. But this one, back in 2015, you said that this TTIP agreement has nothing to do with free trade, that free trade is used as a disguise to hide the power that these agreements give to corporations to use lawsuits to overturn sovereign laws of nations that regulate pollution, food safety, GMOs, and minimum wages. So this is what you said back then. Obviously, you knew something was up, and now we have these leaks by Greenpeace. Can you elaborate a little bit more about that and, of course, your reaction to the leaks?
Yes, well, I was right, as Sean O'Grady's paper today acknowledged, that these documents show that U.S. corporations are granted unprecedented powers over any new public health or safety regulations to be introduced in the future. If any European government does dare to bring in laws to raise social or environmental standards, TTIP will grant U.S. investors the right to sue for loss of profits. Well, actually, it's even worse than The Independent says, because it's not just any new, it's any existing. These agreements, both the transatlantic and transpacific so-called partnerships, they're not trade agreements. What they do is they make global corporations independent of the sovereignty of nations. So any global corporation operating in any country that agrees to this pact can sue on the grounds that any policy that the government has, whether it's anti-pollution, whether it's food safety, whether it's against GMOs, no matter what it is, if it in any way impacts the profits of the company, it can bring a suit. Now, this suit does not go to the courts of the country. It goes to a corporate tribunal in which corporations alone make the decision. So what these agreements do is they make global corporations rulers of the so-called sovereign countries that agree to this pact. It's the worst form of financial, economic imperialism in the history of the world. That any country's representative would agree to this, what they're doing is, this is treason, because they are sacrificing the sovereignty of their country to global corporations. It's amazing that even with all the secrecy, that such an extraordinary takeover of world government could get as far as it has gotten.
Sean O'Grady, do you agree?
Well, I think there's a lot in that. I think that it would have been much better if the, as far as they could, the European Commission and the American authorities had told people what was going on, what was being proposed, so that what Greenpeace released didn't come as so much of a shock. I think that people did have some idea about what was being talked about, but maybe not enough detail, maybe not enough background, and I think they were at fault there. I think it's hard to see why just corporations can sue governments, or the European Union for that matter, rather than the American government taking it upon themselves on behalf of those corporations, if it feels it's right, to take action if governments in individual countries or the European Union as a whole introduce new barriers to trade or restrictions on the TTIP, which effectively annul some of its clauses and some of its freedoms. I think that the history of world trade negotiations, whatever you say about them, it's a pretty sad one. We've come a long way since the 1930s, when we had rank protectionism, what we call beggar my neighbor policies, competitive devaluation of currencies and so on. We've come a good deal of the way since then. We've reduced tariffs time and again in Europe. We've introduced free trade areas, customs unions, common market, and now the single market. We've made a lot of progress across the world, but the Doha round, which is the latest round of world trade talks, is, I think, getting on for 20 years old, and they still haven't come to an agreement. So I think that in all ways, people are right to be wary, they're right to stress the sovereignty of nations and democratic accountability and so forth. But sooner or later, countries, peoples, if you will, do have to make short-term sacrifices to make these deals work for a longer-term gain, for a longer-term prosperity and a longer-term advantage. The old laws of economics that revolve around the comparative advantage and so forth, I mean, those things are, you know, they're flawed in the real world, maybe. But there's no doubt about it that having freer trade within Europe, for example, between Europe and the rest of the world over the last 60 years, 70 years since the end of the war, those things have yielded enormous advantages, despite the disadvantages that you have in the short run, and indeed some disadvantages and some social cohesion issues that we have in the longer run as well. Mm-hmm. And that's the case with the NAFTA, that's the case with Europe, that's the case with all the various trade and sort of group agreements around the world. So I'm saying that the way this has been done is far from ideal, but it shouldn't put us off the idea of transatlantic or global trade relaxation. It's an important project that shouldn't be derailed.
Well, Paul Craig Roberts, I know you have a reaction, but I'm reading your explanation of one of the things that's fascinating, and that's about fast track, that the Congress voted for fast track. It accepted that corporations can write the trade laws without the participation of Congress. Are people aware of this?
Yes, and it's unconstitutional. all treaties are reserved for Congress. But this has been done in secret. And the reason it's done in secret is if people had known what they were negotiating, they probably would have dragged the negotiators out in the street and killed them. This has nothing whatsoever to do with trade. Sean McGrady needs to go read his own newspaper. This has to do with making corporations immune to the sovereign law of countries. It has nothing else to do with anything. It is certainly not true that health and safety regulations are barriers to trade. It's certainly not true that when the French say we don't want GMO products, it's too uncertain. There are studies that show adverse impacts. We have banned them under this so-called partnership that is overturned by a corporate tribunal. This is not democracy. This goes beyond fascism or dictatorship. This is giving corporations the power to rule what are supposed to be independent sovereign governments. It is not a trade agreement. In fact, none of the so-called trade agreements are trade agreements. NAFTA is not a trade agreement. It is an agreement that helps American firms offshore their production for their home markets. All of these agreements have been sold under false pretenses. It's amazing how the media serves the corporate interest. The media lies for the corporations. The corporations get what they want, and the people suffer dramatically. It's certainly not true that anyone in the United States, other than the shareholders and executives of the corporations, have benefited from jobs offshoring. There's been no growth in the real family median income in the United States for 20 or 30 years. And it's because the good jobs, the high value added, high productivity jobs, are moved offshore. The jobs that remained are part-time, lowly paid, domestic service jobs, retail clerks, bartenders, waitresses, hospital orderlies. Month after month after month, the Bureau of Labor Statistics payroll job reports show this over and over and over. I have been reporting it monthly for years. Mm-hmm. These trade agreements are special privileges for global corporations. They are nothing else. No one else benefits.
Mm-hmm. Sean O'Grady, so if I'm a small business in the suburbs of Paris and I sell apples, am I going to lose my means of living because of corporations, for example? Because reading up on this, it's the small businesses that are said that are going to suffer and their livelihood is going to be jeopardized.
Well, maybe not the retail, and maybe not a shop, because he would, or she would, be able to sell the apples from America that were coming in, their GM produce, GMO produce, you might say. They would be cheaper. The French consumer, therefore, would benefit from cheaper apples. The shopkeeper would benefit from increased trade in the apples, and everyone's better off. But of course, I think the French, or the English for that matter, apple grower, would not be better off. They would find it difficult. And one of the big things that's come out from the comments made by the French minister is that the French are very fearful, as they have been throughout the period of the European Union and the common market here in Europe, about the state and the safety and the security of French agriculture. For them, it's more than an industry, it's a way of life, it's about something to do with the French soul and so forth. And they are very protective of it, and they have in the past introduced protection and protective measures, tariffs and other barriers to trade. The question really is, if the European Union signs such an agreement with the United States, what happens if one of the countries of the European Union or the European Union itself seeks to alter, to undermine, to evade the provisions of the agreement? What happens then to a company, or an individual for that matter, or a government body, conceivably, that is affected by it? What is the redress that they have if an agreement and a treaty that's been freely entered into is broken? And although the negotiations and the details of the negotiations have been secret and these revelations have shocked some people, they've not been signed. None of this is signed. None of this is agreed with the governments of Europe and the peoples of Europe, the European Union, for example, and the United States of America too. Those things are not yet there. In Britain, we've had a lot of discussion about how the TTIP might involve the importation of genetically modified crops, as we've discussed, how it might affect the National Health Service in Britain, whether it would undermine the National Health Service, and some other issues. And government ministers, including the Prime Minister, Mr. Cameron, have given us assurances about what it would mean for the National Health Service. We won't be signing any treaty in Europe or America, for that matter, without the parliaments and the congresses being able to examine it in great detail, and I suspect at great length as well, in order to find out what's going on. And as I say, the French have already pretty much rejected it as out of hand.
Well, Paul Craig Roberts, I know you have a reaction. Again, reading through some of the articles you have written on this, especially in your website, there was a part that said that some of these lawmakers are being paid, and therefore this has happened. Can you please explain a little bit about that, and ultimately what can be done, given all the information you have given, to stop this from happening, the TTIP?
Yes, you know, we've known what's been going on for years. I exposed it instantly. I've written about it over the years. This is a corporate plan hatched by the corporations to make themselves independent of the laws of countries in which they do business. In fact, it really has the potential of vast expansion, because you could even claim that a tax on your profits is a restraint on trade. It's possible for corporations to say, well, I would be operating here, but they tax my profits, so I'm not, and so I'm bringing suit. And of course, there's no way for any government to defend against the suit, because the tribunal that hears the case against the country is a corporate tribunal. It's not tried in the courts of a country. Now, to say that something like this is freely entered into, I mean, what kind of idiot would sign this unless he's paid? This is treason. You can't support this without committing treason against the people you're supposed to represent, because you're giving away their sovereignty. You know, the EU is supposed to consist of democracies, accountable governments, accountable to the people. So how is something negotiated in secret that's not freely entered into, that gives corporations from other countries immunity to the laws of your country? This is the most anti-democratic, fascistic thing you can imagine. There's no reason any representative of a country would sign this except bribes and threats, coercion. Also, They create this mystique about this. Oh, it's free trade. Everybody will benefit. You're not against people benefiting, are you? Oh, you're against free trade. Shame on you. Don't you know how beneficial free trade is? So they create this fabricated case for it and impose that on weak-minded politicians. So they don't all have to be paid. No. They get carried along. Like, oh, you mean you're against this? How can you be against this? This is so good. Look, everybody benefits. I mean, Sean O'Grady just made the pitch for them. It's the pitch you hear over and over. It has nothing whatsoever to do with the agreement. And so we have it's a system of lies and misrepresentations to get something passed. Oh, this is so good, how it does it.
Okay.
And what it does is it gives corporations independence of law.
Okay. Well, we got 30 seconds that I'd like to give each of you. Sean O'Grady, obviously in response to Paul Craig Roberts there.
Well, all I can say is genetically modified food. In America, they have genetically modified food. In parts of Africa, they have and they consume genetically modified food. In Europe, we do not. That is because our lawmakers have not been coerced, have not been bribed, have not been cajoled into passing laws that allow it. It has not happened. It will not happen unless there is a compelling reason to do so, and that doesn't seem to have appeared. The French don't want it to happen. So although it's been talked about in secret, fair enough, but although it's been talked about, it has not happened,
right.
And I very much doubt it will happen.
Excuse me, it has happened because the agreement now has gone forward. So the people negotiating the agreement agreed. That's how it goes before the EU Commission. So the next step is, do the so-called parliaments agree? But the people representing those governments who negotiated the agreement agreed to it. So they have accepted it, and that's where the bribes are. And we don't consume genetically modified food here if we know it. But Monsanto has laws so that we cannot have labeled food, that this is a GMO food. One state passed a law and Monsanto took them to court and sued them simply for labeling the food as GMO. So,
okay.
You know, you have
I'm sorry to jump
really
in. Unfortunately, we're fresh out of time. I do apologize. Thank you very much. Former Assistant Secretary of U.S. Treasury Paul Craig Roberts from Florida and Finance Editor of The Independent Sean O'Grady spoke to us from London. Thanks so much for tuning in to another edition of The Debate. From Mikhail Vitale and the entire team in the Capitol, Tehran. It's goodbye.